starting with this page, the Seder menu. Everybody has that page?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So again, the issue was, now let's see if we can fill in the blanks. So we have the Seder menu, which we're assuming it's going to take a few hours to get to the Seder. You can't leave the food up. From the beginning of the, before Yom Tov, it was Friday night, so you can't cook it on Yom Tov, you can't heat it up on Yom Tov, leave it up, it would get burnt, etc. So you want to heat it up on Shabbos. You want to heat it up on Shabbos. So what can you do? So we have the menu, and we're going to be addressing the chicken soup, the brisket, the carrot tzimis, the tatui, and the potato kugel. So what are our options to do? So chicken soup is a liquid, it's fully cooked. So there's no problem with bishul deraisa. It's fully cooked, but it's cooled off. So we have a concern, even though it's fully cooked, it's of yesh bishul achar bishul. If something's been fully cooked, it can be cooked a second time. Does that apply? What does that apply to?
Solids.
It doesn't apply to solids. So solids, if something is fully cooked, and even if it's cooled off, it doesn't apply to a solid. A liquid, because besides the part of the significant definition of something which is liquid is you enjoy the heat which is in it. You want something hot, that extra heat which is gone now, putting back in, chicken soup doesn't taste the same hot as it does cold. Tentacle doesn't say the same either, but the difference between hot potato kugel and cold potato kugel, cold potato kugel is not as significant as cold chicken soup and hot chicken soup. So when it comes to chicken soup, heating the chicken soup is going to be problematic. When it comes to the potato kugel, which is a dry solid, it's not going to be a problem. So they're both fully cooked. One of them, we're going to be concerned with the problem of yesh bishul achar bishul, and one of them, we're not going to be concerned with that problem. Okay, so my chicken soup, I have a problem of yesh bishul achar bishul. So I can't heat it up on Shabbos. I can't heat it up on Shabbos because even though it's fully cooked, if I take it from cold to yatzah lettuce bowl, I'm going to do the act of bishul. How hot is yatzah lettuce bowl? So if you look on the third sheet I just gave you, the top line says yatzah lettuce bowl, it gives you a range. In other words, the halacha is not very clear.
110-160.
It's not very clear what the definition of yatzah lettuce bowl is in modern terms. So I'm using Fahrenheit. I don't know. In deference to any Israeli students, right? He would use centigrade. So I just point out Fahrenheit. Okay. So it's 110-160, which means the following. If I take something and it reaches the heat of 110, it's possibly considered heating it. So if it's less than 110, room temperature, 70 degrees, I make it to 110 degrees, I added 40 degrees of temperature, Ramosha says you have to be concerned that you're doing bishul. Okay? What about the other way around? I know for sure it was fully cooked. What's the definition of fully cooked by a liquid? It had reached yatzah lettuce bowl. Well, it was 140 degrees. I'm not sure that was yatzah lettuce bowl. So I want to reheat it a second time, and it reached 140, it had not reached 160, so I'm not convinced it was fully cooked the first time. Therefore, I would have a problem the second time. But over here, my chicken soup, I cooked it at a nice rolling boil of 190 degrees, 200 degrees. My problem is not the first cooking. The first cooking was fully cooking, but now it's 70 degrees. I want to heat it up to 120, very hot soup, 120, 130. I can't do that. Can I put it in a place where it could reach 120 potentially? I'll take it off beforehand. I'll keep an eye on it. I'll take it off beforehand. Right? You follow what I'm saying? I'll make it 105. I'll put it in a thermometer and I'll make it 105. And I'll remember to take it off before it gets to 120. But I'm putting it in a spot where theoretically it could reach 120. I can't do that either because I might forget. I can't put it in a place where it might reach yatzah lettuce bowl, even though I plan to take it off before yatzah lettuce bowl, because we're afraid you're going to forget. So I can't stick it. I have a very difficult issue with what I'm going to do to heat it up again. So I can leave it in the oven, but I'm not going to leave it in the oven. I can't put it back into the oven. I can't put it back in the oven because I have a problem with bishul and a potential bishul deraisa. I have a second problem, which we saw was the other column which I gave you with the problems of chazorah, the five conditions of chazorah. I took it off before Shabbos. I can't put it back on. right? Can't put it into an oven. So the option of putting it into the oven would be precluded for two reasons. So I would say chicken soup into the oven, the answer is X. I can't do that. Okay, can I put it on the range top onto the blech? So if you look on your sheet with the five positions for Chazara, so you see on the bottom there are three areas on the blech. At the bottom it says there are three areas on the blech. So you have your fire going, and you cover it over this piece of metal, and so directly over the fire is called the area right above the fire. I can't put it right above the fire. That's considered an area which you could reach, even though it's fully cooked, and I plan to take it off before it gets there, but it might get there. So I cannot put it back to that spot. I cannot take it off before Shabbos and put it onto that spot. The third area, not talking about the fire, food will not heat the yatzah lettuce bowl there. So the answer, can I put it there? I'm going to take it on Shabbos. I have my chicken soup, it's room temperature. I want to put it on the blech in a spot where it cannot reach yatzah lettuce bowl. What's the answer?
Good.
Good, right? What's the problem with that? I'm not doing bishul. It's not reaching yatzah lettuce bowl. It won't be the hottest soup in the world, but that would work. So option number C will work for us. What about B? Not directly with the fire, but food will heat to yatzah lettuce there.
No,
right? We have this gazera that might come to yatzah lettuce, but we have a second problem besides that, but we have that problem. So the chicken soup, the option of putting on the blech is going to be an issue. Hot plate, putting it onto a plata. So who knows what a plata is? Okay, right? So what is the special unique characteristic about a plata? What makes it special in halacha? Oh, that's a more challenging question.
Electric.
It's electric, that's true, but that's probably not why it makes it unique. The two unique elements about a plata, what makes a plata special in halacha? A plata is something which you cannot change the temperature, it only has one set temperature. And you cannot cook on it. It's not a place where people would normally cook. If I have a plata which is hot enough that you can cook on it, you lose the halachic advantage of that plata. The whole point of a plata, it's a warmer, it's not something which is made for cooking. So one of the reasons we said you have to meet these conditions is because it looks like cooking. Well, nobody cooks on this thing, it doesn't look like cooking. You with me?
Yeah.
Right? If I have something which people would cook on, and it hits 190, it's a great warmer, it hits 190, well, you can cook eggs on it. Well, then you've got a problem. You made this no advantage plata that you could cook on is like oy vey, right? So theoretically, the ones they make in Eretz Yisrael, they try and make it that you can't cook on them. The American ones, you just take something which is a warmer. Many of the warmers you actually can cook on. So you have to really test it to make sure that it has that advantage. So the point is, it's mutter because it doesn't look like cooking because it's not made for cooking because nobody cooks on it. Well, you have to see if that's true or not. Okay, second issue we have is maybe you might increase the temperature. Well, you cannot increase the temperature because it only has one setting. I have a plata with two settings, a lower and a higher. I put it on low, it's not going to be because you might turn it to high. And that was a gzera, because I'll make. Right? So the plata might be a solution for us. I can take my room temperature and put on the plata, but I can't let it get yatzah lettuce bowl. So I have this plata which heats to 160. Can I put it there?
No.
I'm planning to take it off before it gets 160?
No.
No. Okay. I want to put it on top of the crock pot, on top of the percolator, on top, or right? So those, again, that's not a place you cook, so I don't have a problem with the looking like cooking or might change the temperature issue, but I still have the issue of getting to yatzah lettuce bowl. So it's not a great idea. So insulating before Shabbos would be probably your best option. One point about insulating before Shabbos. So right before Shabbos, I had a roommate in Tells that, I don't know whether girls like this, I don't know, and a Bachman will like this. They like sleeping in like freezing cold rooms with this like down thing like this stick. So it's like really geschmack underneath the down thing, and it's like freezing cold in the room. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I'm from Cleveland. So in Cleveland, just give you an idea what Cleveland was like. They didn't cancel school for the snow. Okay. When I grew up in Cleveland, in the summer, snow started in October. You saw the grass again in April. You didn't see grass for 5 to 6 months. Just snow, and then more snow, more snow, more snow. Okay, so they canceled, they only canceled school when the temperature went below zero before the wind chill, without the wind chill. They wouldn't cancel for snow because they don't need to cancel it. If the temperature was below zero without the wind, it was below zero with the wind many times, but then they canceled school because it wasn't safe for the kids to walk to school by themselves. Right. The day my mother's Leviah, Leah Shalom, there was no school. We were in the cemetery with below zero before wind chill temperatures. Like that's what. So this guy used to sleep with the window open. And a down blanket like this thick. You couldn't wake him up in the morning. I mean, it just wasn't the gay. Okay, so I have such a gewaltig down blanket. I want to use that for insulating my pot. Right? So I'm going to take this pot off of the fire. It's boiling hot. Wrap it around with this down blanket, and it's going to stay hot for the next, like, 10 hours. Do it before Shabbos, mutter. That's fine. You can do that. So I came up with a great idea. Let's put it on the blech from before Shabbos. But, you know, you put the blech, you know, and make a very low flame. So it's not really going to, you know, it's not going to boil out, etc. But I want to keep the heat in, so I'll put the down blanket on top of the pot, on top of the blech, on top of the fire. You with me? Mm-hmm. Right? Sounds like a great idea. Usher. Can't do that. Okay? You can insulate it something which will maintain heat. But over here, what's going to happen is insulation will help it actually to increase the heat. That you can't do. So you can't put it in something before you cannot do a combination of a fire beneath and insulation on top. Okay? Yeah. What you could do, insulation, so let's change my scenario. Percolator. Ever seen a percolator sleeve? Percolator glove, they call it. Percolator, like, you know, thing which, you know, keeps the percolator hot. You, nice, like, quilted thing.
Yeah.
Goes around the percolator. What's a burn, samovar, I don't know what you call it. Hot water heater. Right?
Yeah.
Not a cook, you know, but the one that you keep going on over shelves, right? Right? So, it has electric element. It has a heat source on the bottom. And I put this nice sleeve around it. So what am I doing? I'm insulating the pot with heat underneath. What do you think?
No.
Everybody follow the question?
No.
Who doesn't follow the question? Who doesn't follow
he
the question?
He doesn't do anything.
Yes, you could.
What?
It's the same as the blanket.
It's hot anyway.
It's the I same don't as follow.
The blech with
okay.
the blanket.
Okay, so I just
it
told
does
you.
Does make it hotter.
I just told you, I have a fire, I have a blech, I have a pot, I have insulation. It's awesome.
That's us, sir, because you're like creating the
because the insulation is not just retaining the heat. As the heat comes in, it's helping the heat heat the thing up by not letting it escape.
That's also like creating something that you're not supposed to.
I thought you were allowed to put like a plate on top of the heater thing. And then put it
So it's a good question. Insulation means fully surrounding it.
Oh.
The sides, top, bottom has the heat, so that I don't need to insulate that. It's fully surrounded. So insulating from before Shabbos is mutter. Again, I want to take this gorgeous thick down blanket, wrap my pot. No problem, I can do that.
It's such a fire hazard.
Yeah.
But I want to do it on top of the blech where there's a fire underneath. I can't do that. So let's change. Why? Because there's heat underneath. So I have a percolator. I don't know how much heat does the element produce. It should make the water what temperature? Let's say for a number. Let's say 190. A certain amount gets dissipated into the air, so it doesn't stay at 190. Right? I put insulation around it. It's going to keep that heat in, right?
Right.
So that's the same case. So that's a problem. So what's the answer? Don't insulate fully. So you come to the Rheingold house, you'll see that we have, when we use, not the pump pot, we use a percolator, like over a 3-day yomtiv, we use, because it held a lot more water. We put towels on top, we leave the sides open. So what about this glove, which is made to fit on top of it? My wife actually wants to make her own, because you know it's much cheaper than buying the one. The kosher version, which they cost like $75 for a thing which you can make for like five, you know, like that type of stuff, right? So we left a slit, we left some openings on the side. Okay, so that, I can do it with my chickens, I can insulate before Shabbos, but I can't do it on top of the blech, I cannot insulate on top of the blech with the fire underneath. Making sense? Who doesn't follow?
Right, I feel like I always just see that. But I guess it's usually opened. Like it's not fully covered.
So you make sure it's not fully covered. Okay. Let's go to the pedagogue. Pedagogue is much easier because it's a dry, all the way on the right side of the chart. So it's a dry solid. I have no problem with heating it up again. a problem with heating up. And again, I don't have to worry about any derisive problems. It's dry. And it's fully cooked. It wouldn't be fully cooked. And I said, you know what, let's cook it like 2/3 and we'll finish the last part. So we just freshly cooked, baked on. So then I have a problem. I could not do that on Shabbos. I can't cook on Shabbos. That's not a right. But it's fully cooked. It's dry salad. So what do I want to do? So it's in from four Shabbos. Let's work from the bottom up. Yes?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Top of the percolator.
Yes.
I want to take it on Shabbos, fully cooked, dry, put it on top of the percolator.
Yeah.
Yes, good. I want to put it on top of the crock pot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to put it on the hot plate.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I want to put it on the range top on the left.
Yeah.
Is that permitted to potentially cause the fire to turn on and therefore continue? I'm making a fire on Shabbos. I'm causing a fire to turn on. That's the problem. Either fire a gas flame or an electric. That's the issue. So one answer is some ovens have a little light which tells you when the, if it's electric, a little light which tells you when the element is lit. Oh, so then I'm not doing anything. It's lit anyway. So that's the solution what some ovens have. They have a little light which tells you that right now the cycle. How does an oven work? Okay, stopping a rabbi. Let's talk. How does an oven get it to temperature 350?
There's
a,
it lights up on the bottom.
How long?
Ten minutes.
How does it know 350 versus 375? How does it do that? How does it maintain a different temperature? There's a thermostat, but what does the thermostat do for it? What does it do?
It's the air.
It cycles. Most ovens cycle, which means you have this element, right? Heats it up, and then it turns off. Okay, as it goes down a little bit, it turns it on again. So it'll cycle more the higher the temperature. If I put it on highest temperature, the electricity will be going through the circuit the whole time, heating as high as it can go. But I don't want that. I don't want it to be 750 degrees in my oven right now and burn my food to a crisp. So I put it on 350 and it cycles. Put it on 375, it cycles more often. Right?
Okay.
Electric. The same thing with the gas. The flame is not on all the time. It would be 600 degrees. Right, so what do you do? It cycles. The thermostat tells you, no, right now it's getting very high. Shut off for a minute. After a minute it starts cooling down, turn on again. The higher the temperature, the more often it'll cycle. Yeah, it makes sense, right? So now, if it's right now the fire is on, and I open it, I'm not really making the fire turn on. I might make the fire extend itself. But that's not problematic in all of it. But to make it turn on is potentially a problem. That's why the issue, when people raise the question about turning on an oven, opening an oven is causing the fire to turn on.
No, but it's not. It's already on.
To make the fire extend itself, you can't mess with the fire
Messing with the fire is raising it, so you're doing something immediate.
Right.
So doing something immediate in halacha is considered your action. Doing something which happens in the future is considered a grama, and I cannot get involved in all the details about grama. That would be a great conversation. Which I guess one third of you would find fascinating, and two thirds like who cares? Anyway, but I find it fascinating. But I happen to be a person who likes this type of stuff. The point I'm saying now is, okay, what about the following? I have no idea whether it's on or off. I have no idea. I don't have the little light. I can't tell you if it's on or off. I don't know for sure. So it might be that right now the fire is on. I turn it on, no problem. Might be it's off, and I'm going to cause it to go on. Will it happen immediately? Maybe yeah, maybe no. I don't know. So my oven is set at 600. As soon as you open the door, it's going to go on because immediately the amount of heat that it needs for that is going to happen immediately. 350 might take a minute. Then it's a grama.
Maybe
not. I don't know what it is. So at that point in time, somebody came along and said, well, you know, there's a concept in halacha called psikresha. Psikresha means it's for sure, it's inevitable. Okay, English, right? No, know what the word inevitable is, right? It means it's for sure going to happen. I'm not convinced everybody knows what the English word is, but it's for sure going to happen. But what about if I don't care if it happens?
Well, like, that's not your intention.
It's not your intention, I don't care if it happens. So that, it actually has a different status in the law. So how do I know if I care or not? If I want the oven for food for later, I want it to cycle again. If I take all my food out of one shot, I couldn't care less whether it turns on and off afterwards.
Right.
That's the difference behind only opening it one time. Ramosha says, actually, not like this, it's motor period. And so some places can call it totally mutter, some say it's only osir, some say it's only mutter one time, and whatever you should follow your local Orthodox rabbi.
Wait, but
and I'm local, I'm Orthodox, but I'm not necessarily your rabbi. Okay.
But
in my house, we allow it.
Wait, but isn't if it's already set to 350 before Shabbos, and you're opening it and going and shutting it, it's just doing more cycles. You're not turning on the flame.
But the flame could go on right when you open it, whereas if...
Each time you are making a cycle happen quicker, it's called your action.
Right. Okay. Wait, is it less of a problem than, like, starting a fire? It's not like starting a fire.
No, it's exactly the same thing in a walk-up.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, if you hold, that's considered immediate. If it's considered your action, if you hold not, it's a groma. So that's part of the, that's part of the argument. Okay. Anyway, so I can't put it in the oven. Forget about that. Even if you hold, you're allowed to open the oven. You're allowed to take things out of the oven. You can't put things into the oven because it's a place that people cook.
Why do we put bread in the oven then?
Why do you put bread in the oven? On Shabbos.
I'm trying to think if I put it before Shabbos, probably. Oh no, I put it on the present.
Okay. Now yes.
Is this the same as like a warming drawer?
A warming what? Drawer.
What?
Never heard of that.
Yeah,
never
heard of that.
The drawer underneath. We keep our like aluminum foil drawer.
You don't know what it's called, right?
It's just
we don't use
warm
it for that
drawer.
Though. We literally just put stuff in there.
Does it get warm in there?
Like trays.
I don't know. Some of them are just for storage. They're not for warming.
We use ours for storage.
Yes, not a warming.
There might not be a warmer.
Ours is
that's not warmer. There are
like a convection.
Nobody gets that.
Yeah, convection ovens are a whole different ball game because there is a fan involved which opens and turns on and off when you open the door. That's a whole different problem. I'm talking about a regular old standard oven.
No. What about a warming drawer? Is that like how?
A warming drawer.
Stove.
My understanding is that potentially it's probably everybody should agree that it's mutter. But again, it's mutter to open and take things out. Put in on Shabbos, I think we hold it not.
I don't think you have control to keep them open, right?
Okay.
I don't have one.
Right. So
have
one. Might just be
okay. Now, what about the brisket, the carrot sivis, and the ratatouille? Okay.
I love ratatouille.
If you
can
we make all this
because it warms it.
What?
Yeah. People put food in the oven. That's the
tip of my yeah.
It's squash. It's squash. It's pretzel.
The weirdest thing
so
ever.
So we keep it.
Yeah.
But it's
text, right?
Like,
okay,
ladies. Ladies.
She
doesn't
put
my mom's right.
Okay, so.
Oh, yeah.
They named it
Ratatouille
because of that.
Okay. Ladies. So on your list over here, so the brisket. So we pointed out that the brisket is only mutter by the night of the Seder if it's not roasting. Even pot roast, it has to be, there's a lot of liquid there. The ratatouille is also a lot of liquid in it. The carrot sivis, you know, depending on how you make it, usually it's more on, even though it has some moisture, it's much more moisture than a potato kugel, but it's still, in halacha, a carrot sivis usually is considered a dry solid. So it's fully cooked. Right? We're not worried about the fact that it's room temperature, that you're going to heat it again. The fact that there is some moisture there doesn't bother me. The same way, a person wants to take a challah out of the freezer and put it on top of the percolator. We say, that's mutter. Right? Well, there's a little bit of moisture, some ice crystals in the bag, and they're going to evaporate. Right? Are we worried about that? No. You have a big hunk of ice. Probably should take it out anyway because it'll mess up your challah. But besides that, right, that would be significant. But a little bit of moisture there, which is going to evaporate, etc., we're not worried about. So in the case of the carrot simis, we would deal with it the same as the potato kugel and the same sock. Regards to the brisket and the ratatouille, we would deal with it the same thing as the chicken soup. Where do you define the definition between the two? If, when you heat it up, there's going to be actual liquid there. I mean, right now, your brisket might have the liquid which is there congeals, becomes like a semi-solid,
yeah.
Right? But when you warm it up, it becomes liquid enough that it flows off of the brisket on, and it exists independently in the pan. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
You know, culinarily wise, not what I'm looking right now. We're talking about culinary skills, yes. Right? I take this chicken and it has some fatty whatever it is. I warm it up, and all of a sudden, it's like a liquidy mess on the bottom of the pan. So that's the case of the brisket we're talking about. So that's considered as if it's a liquid. That's the same thing as chicken soup. And that would be the same thing with ratatouille. Okay, so we finished our menu. Everybody good? Okay, I made a list over here. So we said, yes, Saletta's bowl is 110 to 160. Okay, we mentioned last week that you cannot, not only can you not cook on Shabbos, something's not fully cooked, but you cannot even speed up the process of cooking something. So let's go back to our oven. Let's say you hold this mutter to open an oven more than once, right? So I put up a cholent for Shabbos morning in my oven. really geschmack, almond shoals, like very tasty, etc. Like really good for your cholesterol and all those type of things, right? I put it up right before I put it up, like, you know, close to Shabbos. I also have my chicken soup and I have something else over there. And I open up the oven. Can I shut the oven door? So forget about the fire problem. I have a problem that right now a lot of air heat is coming out and the chalent will cook very slowly. When I shut the door, the heat will stay in and the chalent will cook more quickly. So the chalent is not fully cooked. I have a problem I'm doing bishul on Shabbos by shutting the door. So there's one of the ways to hasten bishul is closing the oven door. So if I don't know that my food is fully cooked, I can't shut the oven door. So that's to be another reason why a person would mind to make only open, you open the oven door once, take everything out. That you can do that, but you wouldn't be able to leave your cholent in there. Or you'd have to leave your cholent with the door open, so you didn't do anything. You open the door and then you leave it with the door open, so you're not hastening the process of cooking by shutting the oven door. What other examples do we have of hastening? So, moving closer to the fire. So I have my pot on the blech. I have a pot on the blech before Shabbos. There are three sections of the blech, right? There's a place where the temperature will not be yatzaletis bo. That's not considered on the fire. I may not move it closer to where to section A or B. Making sense?
So, like, you have your burner, and then you have your blech over it, and you can put it, like, here, but you can't put it, like, directly on top.
So I have my... Here's the burner, and here's the blech, right? Yeah. So I put my pot before Shabbos right over the fire. Mm-hmm. Very nice. Put the pot all the way over here. It's not going to get yatza lettuce bow. It's not... As far as we're concerned, it's not on a blech. That's nothing. So I can't move it from here to here. What about if I leave it right here before Shabbos?
It would get hotter than...
It's a place where it could reach the temperature of Yatzeletis Bo. So it's hot enough, the fire is here, but the fire has power to heat it up over here to Yatzeletis Bo.
Doesn't it depend?
So you may move it, you may move that on Shabbos back to over the fire. Because it's sitting on the fire. However, if it's not fully cooked, you can't move it. Because then you're hastening the cooking process. So my mother-in-law, Shalom, used to, her standard was a blech, and she would have the food for Friday night, and she also would have a big teapot with hot water. That was the hot water for Shabbos. Right? So when you pick it up, she would leave it on, usually she'd leave the food for Friday night right over the fire, and the teapot over to the, a little bit over to the side, and after she take up all the food for the Friday night, she'd move the teapot over the fire, and it would stay hot the rest of Shabbos. Water is ready cooked before Shabbos. You're not making any hotter, or it reached the yatza lettuce bow before Shabbos. Once it's fully yatza lettuce bow, from 160 to 170 is not important to us. If it was only 140, I couldn't move it to 160.
Although you can't cook.
But again, if before Shabbos it reached 160 and it still has that temperature, I can move it to 170. Is that called cooking it? So I can move it. That's what she did. So I remember before I learned the halachas, I said, you know, you take it off. I used to put it back only in the exact same spot I took it from. You don't need to do that. You can move it anywhere else, even closer to the fire, because it's fully cooked. What time is class over? Okay, maybe this finishes off. I take my cholent off. I look at the cholent and says, wow, it's not fully cooked. Okay, put it back on the fire.
No.
Okay, I said, you know, I can't do that. So I take the cover of the cholent off. I said, wow, it's not fully cooked. Can I put the cover back on? Yeah. Why?
Off of the fire?
No, it's on the fire.
Oh, no.
Take the cover off?
I take the cover just to see how my cholent's doing.
I thought you were eating.
If it's not fully cooked,
no.
When I put the cover,
you can't do it.
It's making it cook more quickly because when it's covered, it keeps the heat inside. So once I take that cover off,
you
can't put it back on. So covering is a problem.
What if you don't uncover it fully?
Yeah, what if you like only...
Doesn't make a difference.
You're still letting air.
Okay, so let's hold it here. So we're going to pick up from this sheet next week. Who wants to hold on to their sheet? Who wants to give it back to me? Whoever wants. Whatever I'm doing, let's do it now. Okay, girls, have a wonderful show.
Thank you.